What's up, guys? Ryan Spagnoli here with another episode of the Patriot Nation podcast. No Pat this week, but I will be joined by Brian Phillips and Taylor Kyles, both of whom work for Pat's Pulpit. We discuss the Philly game and break it down from a little X's and O's standpoint, as Brian and Taylor do a great job with that. We also touch upon the Isaiah Wynn activation and whether or not he can really help this struggling offense and offensive line. And we said we wouldn't do it, but we talked to Antonio Brown and whether or not there's a slight chance of a reunion after the apology he issued to owner Robert Kraft via social media Monday afternoon. And obviously, we dive into the Cowboys and preview them a little bit heading into Sunday's game. So as Pat would say, buckle up and cue the music.
Stack receivers, two to the right. Russell Wilson extends the hands he has. Wilson, quick throw. And it's good.
Guys, welcome back to another episode of the Patriot Nation podcast. It's just myself today, but I brought along two familiar faces, Brian Phillips and Taylor Kyles, both of Pat's Pulpit. I think the last time we talked to you guys was after Super Bowl 53. You guys went in an X and O's craze and put me in an absolute pretzel, but it's always a blast having you guys on. What's going on, guys?
What's going on, brother?
Not too much. I mean, obviously, Patriots coming off a pretty big win in Philly. I think from my standpoint, I don't know about Tom Brady and all his comments after the game, seems a little bit frustrated offensively. So, Brian, I guess I'll start with you. I guess we'll get right into it, get the elephant out of the room. Obviously, the offense isn't where it wants to be, and obviously not where we expected it to be at this point in the season. I know it took them really till week 15 last year to find their identity as an offense fully, and that was, you know, we're going to bully up front and pound the ball down your throat with Sonny Michel, but they still can't seem to find consistency, whether it's, you know, through the air or on the ground.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, Tom's obviously been pretty frustrated with the it seems like he's just had, you know, his ass has been a little chapped, you know, all year pretty much with everything going on, all the craziness and, you know, the crazy Netflix thing, and he just seems a little sour. And you know, the lack of production and efficiency on offense is just really grinding his gears. I know it's people want to talk about his decline, and it's a hot thing to do to try to get your name out there and everything, but. And I talked about it a little bit this week, you know, the way he has played, particularly in the red zone, is not Tom Brady. Like, it just isn't. He's feeling pressure that isn't there. He's not stepping up. He's not doing the simple things like keeping your eyes downfield as you maneuver through the pocket. We know how good he is at maneuvering through a crowded, you know, kind of messy, chaotic pocket. He's the best at that. But he's not keeping his eyes downfield right now, particularly in some of these red zone opportunities. And it's, you know, in the NFL, if you're not capitalizing at a high clip, you know, you're going to see it in the box score, man. You're going to see it in all your efficiency stats. And that's what we're seeing right now.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think Brady seems the way he is in the press conferences, it seems like knowing him and the competitor is, I think he's putting a lot of it on himself, which is fair because he's definitely, like you said, Brian, he's missing in the red zone. He's making some throws that really aren't great either decision-wise or ball placement-wise. Like you said, he's clearly not comfortable, which I think partially the reason this offense is struggling, obviously, is the offensive line. Shaq Mason's coming on, which has been huge. But Marshall Newhouse, you know, I defend the guy because I think people are just way too mean to a guy that wasn't on a team and they picked up off the street when offensive line depth isn't great around the league. Obviously, getting Wynn back is going to help that. But at the same time, you're seeing guys like Brady and Edelman, who you rely on a lot, making a lot of the mistakes in times that they can't be making them. We had the Edelman drop in the end zone, which was also on Brady because he actually threw it a little bit behind and gave the cornerback time to make up for it. And then there was obviously the Edelman fumble, and Brady's missing on some third downs. So there's a lot of moments where they need to be making plays, where they usually make plays, and they're just not coming up with those. So it's not really so much, I think, coming from the other guys, like the supporting cast. Dorsett's doing his job. Sanu has done a really great job since coming in. I think James White is doing well with what he has, but the screen game hasn't been working for a few different reasons. You know, I think partially against the Eagles, a lot of that was actually on the linebackers doing a great job reading it. And then the line getting pressure, getting in Brady's face and forcing him to throw it a tick later. There were a couple of plays actually where the screen, just the timing was off a little bit. And both times the Patriots could have gotten huge gains. That one, I remember where they threw it to Edelman early in the game on a screen and a look that looked exactly like actually his touchdown pass, except the back was split to the different other side of the field. And Edelman had a lot of field. He could have gotten at least 40 yards out of it, but it looked like he tripped over someone's foot, and then it kind of threw off everything. So you want to see these guys come up in these moments and take advantage of opportunity, especially with the defense playing like it is. But like you see in the way that Brady's responding, they're just not getting it done.
And it's funny you say that too with, you know, I agree with you to an extent about Newhouse. You know, I think it is unfair to him because, like you said, the offensive line depth is so tough around the league, and he's coming in with arguably the toughest task in football, protecting Tom Brady's 42-year-old blindside. Like, here, just throw in a fire. You got to do you're the most important job on the field right now, protecting this guy. But they went away from a lot of what they were, you know, running with Newhouse in the game. Have you ever seen the Patriots run so many rollouts with Tom Brady? I mean, they ran like three or four of them the other night, and I kept saying they are running away from Newhouse because it's just a dumpster fire over there. And it's great that they get Wynn back, but is he actually – I know he's played 85 snaps of football in the NFL, and he was unbelievable in college, obviously coming off the Achilles, now the turf toe. With a deep – I know the draft's a little bit away, and I don't want to focus him with a deep tackle class coming in this year. Is this last chance for him? I guess a two-part question for you guys. You know what I mean?
Well, I would say – no, because we're going to see immediately, you're going to see the improvement. You're going to see the kind of, you know, right off the bat, you're going to see it.
And but I think he'll also, help, you know, Brian, like, I think he'll definitely help. And
for sure. But I also would caution people to think that it's going to cure everything, because immediately the first thing a defensive coordinator, you know, right now, Rod Marinelli is sitting here saying, well, this is a great opportunity to create some confusion up front. And it's what we saw with Marshall Newhouse, the lack of communication with blitz pickups and confusing the left side of the line. Just because you have a superior athlete in there, Isaiah Wynn's going to have to get up to speed, and he's going to have to do it really, really quick. You know, you got a technician like Robert Quinn this weekend. You know, it's not going to be a seamless transition, but nonetheless, none of it's going to matter if Tom Brady continues to play with this conservative mentality, and not taking these chances down the field, and killing so many plays early. You know, it's just not going to matter if your quarterback's not taking the chances you need them to. It's not going to translate.
And that's where I think Isaiah Wynn actually still can't help, because even when you heard Dante Scarnecchia talking about him in the preseason and the offseason, they have a lot of confidence in Isaiah Wynn. And it's justified, because think of all the things he gives you that Marshall Newhouse doesn't. For one, you got the quickness and the feet and the mobility. Those are two areas where Newhouse has struggled a lot. And because of that, he's been allowing quick pressure sometimes on obviously stunts and everything. He just can't react quickly enough to pick those things up. His anchor isn't great all the time. And one thing about Newhouse that's very different from it also in terms of technique is Marshall Newhouse uses what's called a hug technique, where basically you try to put your arms around the defender and just try to guide them and use their momentum to push them to where you want them to go. And that works sometimes because it covers up his deficiencies. But at the same time, if you're an experienced rusher and you see it on film a lot, it's something that you can exploit. Now, where Isaiah Wynn shines is he's a guy who, even though he doesn't have great size, he's very aggressive in pass protection, which you love to see. He can take it to guys instead of just waiting for them to, you know, let go of their plan of attack. He'll get right in your face and he'll lock you up. And with his anchor, you're not really going to go anywhere once he has his hands inside. And he was one of those pro-ready prospects for guard or tackle coming out of college. And he's only gotten better with the experience. And obviously he doesn't have a ton of live game reps in the NFL, but he looked great against Bud Dupree, who's been having a really good season. So I really do think that the impact of Isaiah Wynn, well, I don't want to gas it the way that I feel like a lot of people are, because, you know, everyone thinks it seems like people think that Isaiah Wynn's going to be catching passes and everything. There's a lot of different things that you got to work on.
Right.
I having that left tackle spot secured is a huge bonus, and I think it's going to give Brady a little bit more confidence. And even McDaniels, for them to call more of the deep passing concepts and not have to constantly throw screens on third and 10+.
Oh, for sure.
Go ahead, Brian. Sorry.
Oh, yeah. Well, I was just going to say, I mean, to that last point that you made about these vertical concepts, you know, I did a little film breakdown this week just for the Pat's Pulpit Twitter handle. And I was just looking at their first play from inside the red zone last week, against Philly. It didn't come until inside of 10 minutes in the second quarter. They had just gotten bailed out on a third down play by Avante Maddox, a defensive pass interference. They're already down by 10 points. They come out in like this 22 personnel set, and the Eagles actually match with a base defense, which hasn't been happening lately from Cleveland and Baltimore. Everybody's been matching them in lighter defensive personnel, like nickel and dime, and just daring them to run. So they get the look, the exact look they want. Tom sells a little soft play action. He turns around, and everything you want from the play is there. The concept is two seam routes from the tight ends, and a little deep out from Edelman on the field side, and an out and up from Bolden. It's a deep concept that puts a ton of pressure on those two high safeties. The Eagles are playing a quarters concept, quarters coverage. And Tom has Matt Lacoste crossing Malcolm Jenkins's face on the field side seam, and he steps up in the pocket, and he's locked in. His eyes are locked in on Sony Michel in the check down point. From the time he's done hitting his back step, he's locked in on Sony Michel the entire time. And it's mind-boggling, because how many times have we seen Tom Brady step up in the pocket with a little bit of pressure off of his right and deliver that ball down the seam to Rob Gronkowski or even Ben Watson or, you know, anybody, you know, the large targets. He's the best of all time at that throw, you know. Nobody's done it better than Tom.
I know, and that you know, kind of stems from that. I think Watson's been pretty good since he's been back. I mean, he made arguably – you know, one of the biggest plays of the game last, what was it? Their third series, third and 10. I don't even think they had gotten past midfield at the time.
Yeah.
And they kind of ran a stack, I think, with Edelman and hit, freed up Watson. He was wide open over the middle of the field. He made some big catches. And I think that was ultimately a turning point in that game. But yeah, sticking on the offense here and you know, kind of getting win back and I guess tying it all together. And back to my original point with, you know, not finding consistency through the air or, you know, on the ground, is Isaiah Wynn going to really help this off, you know, this run game, because it's been staggered. What's Sonny Michel averaging now? Like 3.3 yards per carry. And I think it's been unfair to him so far this year. Obviously you lose Dwayne Allen, Rob Gronkowski, two of the elite run blockers at the tight end position in the league. And then, you know, you lose Andrews and Trent Brown, and Shaq Mason hasn't been great. Obviously his last 2 weeks, I think he's trending in the right direction. They're kind of working more as a collective unit, but I'm just hoping, and I kind of get your guys' take on whether or not Wynn can help this run game and at least get it to, you know, a point where opposing defenses can at least respect it.
I think so, because for one, again, it's the mobility, and that's where Newhouse really struggles, especially with their zone plays and when they're trying to pitch the ball and the plays where the offensive tackle has to pull. Because Newhouse isn't quite as agile and isn't as fast as Wynn, it takes him longer to get to the point he needs to be at. And sometimes we've seen that throws off the timing. There's a few times where Sony's had to slow down specifically because Newhouse isn't where he's supposed to be, and that allows the pursuit to get there. On outside zone, where the tackle is on the backside, Newhouse's job a lot of the time has been to just cross the face of whoever is in his area. And sometimes he can't do that. If it's someone who's shaded to his inside and he's got to get to that inside, he's not going to get there first a lot. And that creates penetration. It puts stress on the back, saying, okay, I've got to keep going. I can't stop, or this guy's going to come after me. And then the timing and all those things, there's a lot of elements I think that Isaiah Wynn brings that you just don't have in Newhouse. And especially with Shaq Mason doing better, he was a big part of it, because we were seeing Shaq Mason get pushed back a lot in the running game, which isn't normal. Obviously, Ted Karras is going to struggle. He's not David Andrews. He's not that caliber player, so he's been pushed back at times as well. But if you got four guys who are doing their job, it's going to help you a lot more than if you got three. And I think Isaiah Wynn, as great as he is as a pass protector, he's also aggressive, has good technique, and he's mobile in the running game. So I do think that he's going to have a significant impact, and we should see a bit of an uptick, but obviously we're going to have to see exactly how they want to use him.
Yeah, I mean, you definitely can't argue with the athleticism, and and the performance that you'll get. But I think, you know, I don't think we should be letting Sony Michel off the hook. I really feel like there's a concerted effort from Patriots fans to let Sony Michel off the hook. And he just hasn't been good. He's not developing that vision and that instinct, and that he doesn't have the burst we saw at Georgia. You know, it's clear that the knee injuries are, you know, have already really zapped his burst, and it sounds like an overreaction, but it's so clear when you watch him on these outside zone runs. To be honest with you, I think not enough credit, and I was a huge hater last year because he wasn't good last year. Rex Burkhead has been very, very good in the limited action we've seen from him. Brandon Graham beat Shaq Mason a couple times this past weekend on inside moves. And Rex Burkhead made the play, turn these plays into positive gains. One of them was an 8-yard gain, but just on his own. These are things we're not seeing from Sony Michel. And to be honest with you, I'd like to see more Brandon Bolden. I want more Brandon Bolden in my life.
He's been awesome.
He's been awesome. I mean, it was cool to see him in
the Jets
and
the Redskins game. I mean, even in the passing game, he's been, you know, James White's had a decent year. I don't think up to his standards, but Bolden's really been the only consistent, along with Burkhead too, like you said, with limited action. But Bolden's been awesome.
Yeah, I think part of that is the way everybody else. Oh, no worries. Everybody else is just better at bouncing those runs. Burkhead, a lot of the runs that they have for him are designed for him to cut it back somehow. James White, we always see him bouncing in line and finding creases. And that's a struggle. That's one of the strengths for Bolden as well, just not to the degree of those other guys. But like we said, Sony Michel doesn't quite have the burst that you want. He can still, you know, hop into another gap, but it doesn't happen as quickly as it does for the other guys. And obviously that allows the pursuit to get there. But again, just to my last ditch effort to kind of take some of the blame off Sony Michel, I think if we're going to say the offensive line isn't doing great, so that's part of why Tom's struggling. I think it's fair to say that for a second year back who had the privilege of running behind the most dominant run blocking offensive line in the league, I think it's fair to say last year, that's a big drop from now you're on a line that has two less starters and then one guy who was moving people at will last season just isn't getting it done for the beginning to midpoint of the season. So I think we need to cut Sony a little bit of slack. I think he's also been running a little bit better recently, and that's, I think, also tied to the offensive line when they're performing well. So, I mean, Sony, I think he gets more slack than he deserves because of the pick, and I've talked about this so many times that I think it's not fair to expect him to be a first-rounder just because that's where they selected him, especially since it's basically a second-round pick. And he could improve. His vision's been okay. He's been a little jittery in the backfield, bouncing it and just being a little too patient, but we've also got to put some of this on the offensive line, not giving him holes and forcing him sometimes to be in a position where he's got to make someone miss in the backfield, or, you know, he's got to plow through someone for another 3 yards just to get a gain.
That's fair. That's totally fair. But I don't think it's this disaster on the offensive line from a run blocking standpoint. I mean, you have two of Pro Football Focus's top 10 guards in the league, number 6 and number 9. You've still got Marcus Cannon, yet he's missed portions of games, and he did miss one game. But yeah, I mean, what I really like to see from Bolden, and you can tell that they're trying to get him a role, is they've been incorporating him a ton, especially last weekend, in this new hybrid fullback role where they bring in Landon Roberts and Jermaine Illuminor in when they want to make sure the defense is in base, and they're definitely running it. But then they'll also do like this, the play I was talking about earlier in 22 personnel with two tight ends, and they bring Bolden in as the fullback. And when you start seeing this slight motion that they're using with him in the backfield, it's the same kind of motion we saw on the touchdown throw to Bolden in week 5 against Washington. That slight motion, it completely alters everything that a zone defense needs to do from a rules perspective, and it's creating problems. And we saw it a few times in Philadelphia. I'm really interested to see if they keep trying to work him into the offense in different personnel groupings.
Yeah, and you know, staying on the offensive side of the ball, obviously today this drops, we're recording this Wednesday, and obviously you guys are listening on Friday morning. So if anything changed, bear with me here, but obviously today, Wednesday's practice, no Mohamed Sanu. Tommy Curran had reported that, you know, he's hearing it's a high ankle sprain anywhere between the 2 to 4 week range, you know, without a, you know, a drastic improvement in that ankle. Philip Dorsett, obviously in concussion protocol after the hit he took on his touchdown. Guys, we always, you know, this guy is just always popping up in the news. Obviously apologizes to Robert Kraft. We're talking about Antonio Brown here. And then today Belichick and Brady are asked about it. And one thing I find that was a little funny, and I guess, you know, I'm kind of just like we talked about it before the show. I'm playing with all these different ways as to how he's coming back when I've told myself he's not, but I'm just playing around with it. I've never really seen Belichick deflect a question towards Robert Kraft. So, guys, the receiving corps is banged up. You got Jacoby Myers, N'Keal Harry, obviously promising guys. Can they handle this load? And I don't know. But if does it get to a point where this guy comes back?
Ryan, you want to start?
well, no.
Just give me a percentage, Brian. We're having fun here. We're just having fun here.
Okay. Oh, man. I got to be the wet blanket right off the bat. I mean, sure, like 1%, I guess. I mean, the problem is, you know, he's got grievances. You know, he's got money. You know, there's money. You know, that there's money problems at stake here. He's got salary cap grievances filed with, you know, against the Patriots that they're going to have to go into arbitration on, or whatever that process is like. And how it's going to affect the Patriots salary cap and all this. And you know, the bottom line is, regardless of what's going on off the field with him and where he's at and how, you know, from a PR perspective, the bottom line is, yeah, he's got these grievances filed and there's so much of that the legality of all that and how sticky and messy of a situation that is that, man, I gotta say like 1%. I mean, it would be nasty from a football perspective, but yeah, I don't see it happening.
Yeah, and not for nothing, too. It's like it almost ruins their brand, right? I mean, it's like bringing him in the first place was obviously a huge risk after his past in Oakland. And then obviously the allegations come out and then they release him, right? It's like, oh, you know, he was on the roster. You know, everyone shames the Patriots. But bringing him back, it's like, okay, not like, come on now. It almost like they don't want to go down that path. It's just a sticky situation, like you said. I'll let you go, Taylor.
Yeah, and especially at this point in the season, and I read somewhere that he still has to do something with the league with the whole thing where he threatened that woman a few months ago that led to him getting released ultimately. I'm pretty sure he has to go through arbitration with the league and figure out how they're going to resolve that. And at this point in the season, I don't think you want to bring in – I think the Patriots are as immune to a circus act as you can get, because if you ask questions about what he doesn't want to answer, he's just not going to give you anything. You can ask him until you're blue in the face. But at the same time, this offense has – a lot going on, and especially in terms of speculation with the media, the way it always is. I don't know. Obviously, he would help offensively, but I just don't know, especially with all the guys you've got coming back. Like, you got Mohamed Sanu, you got N'Keal Harry, who's someone that they seem to think could have a fairly significant role going forward once he gets acclimated. Then you still got Jacoby Myers, who's been coming up pretty well as long as he's not going deep. In that short to intermediate part of the field, he's been doing well. So I think it's more about the offense figuring it out and finding their identity. And I'm not sure that Antonio Brown, just from an overarching standpoint, as much as he can bring you on the field, I'm not sure it's worth it at this point in the season.
Yeah, I agree. And, you know, I think it's definitely a work in progress. Like you said, in last year, they struggled offensively, you know, right around this time of the year, I don't think to this much extent. And obviously with how good the defense is playing, it's like, okay, where's the offense, right? And I guess my next question is, in kind of staying on the offense, before we get into Dallas, you know, this defense has been unbelievable, right? I mean, they're on historic pace, and they've been so dominant for so long. God forbid in the playoffs they find themselves in a Kansas City game where they have to win in a shootout to win. I just don't think this offense is good enough and has the enough skill and playmakers on the field to be able to do that if you get yourself in a situation like you did 2 weeks ago in Baltimore.
I don't think they'd let it turn into a shootout, though. I'm pretty sure their strategy would be what it was
last. Yeah, you know what I'm saying, though. Like, God forbid anything, they get into, like, what happened in Baltimore where they just get picked apart and just torched on the ground.
I don't even think the problem is stringing these drives together, because we've seen them move the ball in every game. It's not like – you know, we've seen like Mitch Trubisky offenses where they literally cannot get anything going. We've seen them have some success, but where they fail, it's not like every single guy is, you know, stuck in coverage or anything like that. They're not finishing plays. They're in the red zone and they're giving up opportunities. They're not completing passes they need to convert third downs. They're not running the ball enough to take the pressure off their passing game. So I think again, we need to see where this offense is by that point. And I think it's tough to make the prediction because we know that they turn into a completely different team after Thanksgiving. Although time's a ticking, obviously, with things looking up, that's a good thing. But I think they just need to play a possession game where they drain the clock as much as they can and just rely on their defense and their special teams to give the opposite team bad field position and just rely on their defense to not let them drive down the field and give up those big plays where you're in a hole by 14, 21 points just because they're throwing it over your heads.
Right. And so I am not, so obviously the offense, yeah, it's been frustrating. We're beating the horse, you know, it's been dead for a while. But I really, honestly, I really do think that they are keeping this secret weapon of this, this no huddle. I mean, it's not a secret, but every single time they've gone to this extreme no huddle, it's worked. The last few weeks, every single time. And they went into Baltimore and it wasn't a reaction. That was their game plan, which ballsy when you're going up against Lamar Jackson. But we saw it. I mean, their one bad decision at the end of the first half and one Julian Edelman fumble from winning that game, probably winning that game.
Yep.
To be honest with you, I mean, and now they're, yes, the defense was on its heels for a majority of that fourth quarter, and you know,
which you kind of expected,
right? And you go, and that's what happens when you go on the road into a tough opponent and a really tough environment, and a Sunday night
and
football
spot up 17,
right? Exactly, and then, but you flip, you know, if you can maintain that first seed and you host that team, you host Baltimore, you know, and then you bring that secret weapon out again and you keep that no huddle going. Because again, every time they've gone to it, it's worked. They did it one time last week or two series last week, and it won them the football game. And that's when they can allow their defense to work, is when they know they have that in the back. And, you know, just in case they need it, they can go to it. They can go to the well, go to that no huddle. That's going to be their secret sauce this year.
And as good as Lamar Jackson's been, I mean, obviously he's arguably the MVP of the league and he's been phenomenal. Until he comes into New England in January and wins, I'm just going to tell myself he can't do it just because of, like you said, the circumstances and how good they are down the stretch. But shifting our focus to Dallas, guys, I think this is a very intriguing matchup. Dallas has got, you know, a lot of playmakers, one of the best slot receivers in the game, and Randall Cobb, who's getting healthy. You know, Michael Gallup's a playmaker. Amari Cooper's up there with the best receivers in the league. Then you flip it over to defense. You know, Vander Esch, Jalen Smith, DeMarcus Lawrence. They got some athleticism and speed all over the field. I think this is a big matchup and definitely going to be a lot closer than I think people, you know, you get 6.5. I think it might be a little closer than that.
Yeah, and this is one of those receiving – just one of those offenses in general where they do a lot of the things that you need to do to win against the Patriots. Dak Prescott – has a deep ball where he can drop it from the heavens, even if you're in perfect coverage. He's had a few touchdowns.
It's gorgeous.
They're 30 yards or longer, and he's dropping it exactly where it needs to be, despite the defender being right there, just a perfect throw. And then you've also got receivers who are extremely athletic, but also smart enough and are gamers enough that they can make plays when they need to, even if there's tight coverage. Randall Cobb, for example, he caught one ball a couple weeks ago where it was right up the seam, and Dak put it exactly where it needed to be, and he got rocked, got hit in the head. I'm not sure if he went into concussion protocol or not. I was just watching the All-22, and he still held on to it. So even though I'm not sure how much separation these guys are going to get against the Patriots, they still have the grit to get it done and make plays for Dak when he needs them. So, and not that I'm saying Dak really needs people to make plays for him. He's making plenty on his own. I'm not that fearful of the run game, honestly. I think the Patriots' run defense is overrated, although Ezekiel Elliott, with his running style and his intelligence, I think he's going to be able to pop one or two just with his vision and his ability to manipulate defenders. But the passing game is what you need to worry about, and I think that these teams match up well, but it's just going to come down to who makes the plays when you need them to.
Yeah, for me, it's going to be about keeping Dak Prescott at bay as much as you can. I mean, this passing attack has been lethal. And it's so much of it is on Dak's shoulders because we're going to sit here and try to pump up these weapons as much as we can. But the fact of the matter is Dak Prescott is making these guys who they are right now. I mean, he is the guy, he's the chef working with the inferior ingredients and putting out, you know, a 5-star meal. Michael Gallup is still learning on the fly. Now, Amari Cooper, I'm so excited to watch him. I hope it's
me
him.
Too.
I hope
it's
him, not even Stephon Gilmore.
Me too. And not to cut you off, but I mean, I don't get the Dak hate. I think he's up there in the elite quarterbacks. He's playing phenomenal football. And I know it's a contract year and Kellen Moore has done some great things for him as a passer. But I mean, I really don't understand. I think he's phenomenal. He's going to be one of the better quarterbacks they've faced all year.
Yeah, for me, it's he's just a notch just behind Russell Wilson. And I think I have to like tie him with Lamar Jackson for the MVP. I mean, all the numbers are in Dak's favor. They're obviously their offensive unit's been really, really good. But I mean, all these advanced metrics, he's checking every box and he's doing it, like we said, he doesn't have the guys around him or a system completely built to his strengths like Lamar does, or he doesn't have those elite guys. I mean, Ezekiel Elliott, guys, he's not elite. He's fine for what he is, and I know he's going to get a ton of notoriety, but the best running back on that team right now from an efficiency standpoint is Tony Pollard. And the more touches Tony Pollard's going to get this weekend, the better that offense is going to create problems for the Patriots. But I'm really excited to watch, like I was just saying, this Amari Cooper and his route running ability against Stephon Gilmore. I hope we get to see a pretty good amount of that.
I'd like to see some J.C. Jackson with Michael Gallup too, because Michael Gallup's proven to be a legitimate deep threat, not just he's not just wide open. He's making catches with guys draped all over him. He's got excellent ball tracking. He knows how to work the sidelines. He's got good hands. And J.C. Jackson with his – I mean, you throw deep against J.C. Jackson, it's either a pick or you're not completing it. I think he's maybe had one deep throw completed against him since he's entered the league, and I'm not even sure that that's happened. I think I might be making that up. But with his ball skills downfield, we've seen how he can do the same thing, go track the ball, and he basically becomes the receiver. I think that could be a cool matchup, although I think he's probably going to split time with Jason McCourty in terms of who's going to be on Gallup. And then John Jones against Randall Cobb. He's having a resurgent season, and then John Jones has played like the best cornerback on this team. So a lot of really fun matchups to watch. Also, Blake Jarwin, who I think is going to fly
radar. He's going to have Tavon Austin out there running some gadgets too and some gimmicks. That's got a total like Tavon Austin one touch, one touchdown type like feel to this game for some reason for me. I don't know why. But I think you're right. Michael Gallup is like that perfect guy that, hey, you want to beat a cover zero blitz? That's the kind of guy you need. You need this guy that can win on go routes and, you know, win on flies on these one-on-one deep, you know, there's going to be opportunities for him, right? There's going to be plenty of opportunities for him one-on-one. If, you know, it depends on how many they can convert. Like you said, nobody's throwing a prettier deep ball right now than Dak Prescott.
Really, you're right. And you know, to kind of wrap up the show, guys, we like to do a little score predictions. I guess if you could predict, I got the Patriots in a tight one. I think obviously they haven't lost at home since week 4 in 2017 versus Carolina. I remember they had the comeback. I think Graham Gano hit a 49-50-yard field goal to win it. So that streak's been going on long enough. I think if there's a team that could come in and kind of shock the Patriots and win, Dallas definitely has the capability to do it, but I think the defense will be fine and the offense will get going. Tom seemed a little bit little bit nicer and more friendlier to the media, I guess you could say, today, so maybe he's feeling a little bit better. But yeah, like I said, I got the Patriots in a tight one, and then I'll kind of let you guys go from there.
Yeah, I'll go first. I have the Patriots 20-13. I think it's going to be a low scoring game. This offense has obviously struggled to put points on the board. Until they prove that, it's hard for me to really assume they're going to do much more. And then this defense, I just have way too much faith in. I think they match up well. And if you're going to give me a unit that matches up well with this Patriots team, I'm going to have to choose them just because the proof's been in the pudding. I think they're talented enough, and they've shown since last year that these guys aren't flukes. You know, they've covered very good offenses, good receivers, and they've dominated. So until we see that come to an end against a quarterback that isn't as freaky as Lamar or Patrick Mahomes, as much as I like Dak and he's got his mobility, he's more of a Josh Allen than he is a Patrick Mahomes or Lamar Jackson. So I'm going to have to go with the Patriots in a tight one.
I am going to take the Patriots. Shocker. I honestly do think that they can get things on track, even with the injuries in the wide receiver core. I think, basically, you know what? None of this is going to be like evidence based. This is all going to be just my gut, like the complete opposite of how I normally formulate any opinions or takes. I honestly feel that this is going to be that turning point game for the offense. It just feels like it's the right time, which, again, based on absolutely nothing.
We can put the AB chatter to rest for a few weeks after this week, is what you're saying?
Yeah. Yes. I think we're going to have – I think it's going to be 34-18 Patriots. I think they get it done in all three phases, and I think we're going to see a big game on the ground from a little bit of everybody. I think they have a lot of creative ways. This offensive line, Taylor, you can attest to it. This offensive line and the way that they design their run game, all the different schemes with the traps and the whams, I think it's a perfect way. The Rod Marinelli one gap penetrating run defense on your way to the quarterback type, you know, doesn't really work against technician offensive linemen like Josh McDaniels and Dante Scarnecchia have.
Yeah. So, you know, and you mentioned all three phases of the game. Before we finish, you have to give a shout out to Jake Bailey. He's been awesome. And I think the one concern I had with him just was if, you know, he hadn't been in a field position battle and hadn't kicked in the cold and the wind, and he was phenomenal the other night. I mean, what, he landed six out of his eight inside the 20. He's awesome. Belichick wins again. I thought, you know, when he cut Zoltan Mesko, everyone was like, ah. And then same thing with Ryan Allen. They got it right as far as it, you know, up to this point. But I guess to kind of finish up, guys, kind of plug yourself where we can find you. I know both of you work and right for the pulpit, as do I, but, you know, each doing some different things. I know, Brian, you got the post-game show over on Facebook. Both of you like to do the film breakdown. So why don't you give us yourself a little plug and where everybody can find you.
Over at Pat's Pulpit, and been trying to contribute a little bit more lately. But yeah, been doing all the video stuff. Been doing the Pat's Pulpit live post game show over on our Facebook page. You guys got to check that out after every game. And I'll be doing a little bit more during the week as we move on through the season. I've had a little more time during the week now to like you said, do some of those film breakdowns and putting out some quality content for the site. And then we'll get into basically, I've got a big, big project I've been working on, charting all the Patriots offensive, basically every play of the Patriots offense, charting it like to the T, and been able to pull some really cool data from that. So that'll be coming up in the future too.
And where can we follow you on Twitter, Brian? Come on, we gotta get that out.
Oh, yeah. Okay, boomer. At B Phillips underscore at B Phillips underscore SB on Twitter.
There you go.
And Brian, you killed on the post game show. A little plug for me. I love listening to it. So you can find me on Twitter at TKYLES39. Like Spag said, I do a lot of film breakdowns, try to make it a little more digestible what's going on with the Patriots and their upcoming opponents. And you can also listen to my own podcast with Bobby Kravitzky called Patriots Perspective. We're on all the streaming platforms, I believe, Spotify, SoundCloud, Apple, Carrier Pigeon, all that stuff. So, you can find the podcast Patriots Perspective.
Awesome, guys. And that should do it for us. Tune into the post-game show Sunday. Brian will do that. Mark's show will be releasing on Monday, as well as Radio Rewind that comes out every Saturday that kind of gives you, you know, some spurts of the shows throughout the week. But, hey, guys, thanks for coming on. We'll definitely have to talk to you again soon. And hopefully Pat will be back next week. Talk to you guys soon.
All right.
Take care. Thanks, bud.